Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after, care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That is James 1:27. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is Chris Carmichael, president of Royal Family Kids. Royal Family Kids is a nonprofit partnering with local churches to give foster children a week of positive memories and royal treatment in a Christian camp environment. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Sandra. It's good to be with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. Chris, this summer, Royal Family Kids will partner with local churches to serve nearly 10,000 foster children nationwide through your summer camp model. So tell us about this summer camp program.
Thank you. I am so excited that we'll have 222 different churches from a wide variety of backgrounds and denominations coming together to create this special place for children in foster care. And what they do is they have worked hard to recruit volunteers and raise the funds to put on that summer camp in a special campground nearby the church within an hour or two of the camp of the church. So what they do is they go up and they get it all ready before the children come, and they decorate the cabins and they get all the signs ready. And when the children check in at the church from the caregivers, from the group homes, from their foster parents, they get on a big travel bus that's specially decorated just for them, and they show up and they roll into camp on Monday about noon. And all of the volunteers are waving the signs and giving them the red carpet treatment when they get off the bus. It's one of the funnest things to see are these little children who are ages 6 to 12 who have never been celebrated or praised like this, to get off the bus and to say, "Where am I? What is going on?" And that kicks off the week to a special week of all these fun things that they never usually get to do. The fishing, the swimming, the horseback riding, the archery, all those fun things are specially designed just for them, to celebrate them, to love on them, and to tell them that there is hope for the future. There is a group of people who will love them unconditionally, and they are there because of Jesus, and that God is real, and He has a positive plan for their lives. And that's basically the outline of what we do at camp. There, of course, are a lot of particulars that go into it, but that's the general gist of what churches come together to do.
Incredible. So how does a church get trained to host a Royal Family Kids Camp?
So for churches who are interested, and it's usually a lay leader, someone in the congregation that says, you know, we should be doing this. Our church community is mission-minded, and we should be reaching out to the orphans who are right here in our own community, foster children. And if they are interested, they come to what's called a new director's training. At one of our current camps, they're embedded with a current running camp. They have classes in the morning, training classes on the situations these children have come from and how to effectively minister and mentor them. Then they go out and they serve with the volunteers at the camp, and so they can see it in action. They have classes and then out in the camp, and then classes and then out in the camp. And by the end of the week, they are completely certified to put on their own Royal Family Kids Camp. And as an organization, we walk alongside them, train them, equip them, give them merchandise, all the things that they need to do the camp program effectively.
So now, these are foster children or children who've even been adopted from through the foster care system. So these are kids that have experienced abuse and neglect, and we call them kids from hard places. So is there, yes, the training is specially geared for that. So do you use Dr. Purvis's model of trust-based relational intervention for your staff?
We do. We have implemented TBRI as of 3 years ago. We've been working with them to get our trainer certified in TBRI, and now we have implemented that in all of our new directors' training. It has been transformational. It's really given us the extra tools to give the volunteers the understanding and the best way to work with the children, so that it's not just, wow, I don't know exactly how to work with these children. They understand a lot more about where these children are coming from and the type of behaviors that they exhibit and how to best work with that. It's been wonderful to implement TBRI into our training.
Yeah, we've got a lot of experience here with TBRI and through Empower to Connect for mm-hmm. foster and adoptive families. So I love hearing that you're using TBRI in the training. So the kids are from foster care. So how does this really church camp program, how does the state, who has the custody of the children in foster care, how does that work?
So the state allows us to reach out to the children's caregivers and invite them to camp. And it doesn't cost anything for the children to come. The state, at first we thought maybe they would be reluctant to partner with an organization that's faith-based. But we have a general agreement of no proselytizing at camp, which is understandable. These children are coming from a very vulnerable place, and the last thing they need is a heavy altar call, right, at camp. But what we do is we do share the love of God. We do give them Bibles. We do share that Jesus is the reason we're all there. And if they have questions about it, we can talk to them. But we don't do baptisms or altar calls or communion or any of the usual, religious rites, right? We do are able to have chapel time and song and skits, which we convey the message of Christ's love. But that's basically it from that side. So, we operate on the corner of Church and State Boulevard, right? And these are wards of the state, and for reasons they may never darken the door of another church, and you couldn't, as a church body, reach out to social services and say, we want to invite all the children in foster care in the county to come to our church. They'd say, no. But if you say, we do want to invite them to come to a camp that's sponsored by a church, they say, fantastic, sounds like fun. So that's how we are able to meet the children and create this community that wraps around them.
Wonderful. And I love hearing about that. So, Chris, can you share some stories, some testimonies about how children have been impacted by their week at Royal Kids Camp?
I sure can. There's a story of, there's thousands of them, Sandra, that I could tell. And I'll tell a couple, if that's okay.
Yeah.
One of them is from a little girl named Samantha, who was the worst case of child abuse in Greene County, Missouri. She had been abused since the time she was 3 years old, and she never went to school, and she had been locked in her basement or a dog kennel. She had been forced to clean up after her older stepbrothers and stepsisters. Her stepfathers would rape her repeatedly and with a loaded gun to her head. It was the horrific type of abuse that you just think can't be happening in our communities. But she was one of these lost children, and there are so many. It's heartbreaking to think of. But a neighbor finally saw this little girl through the window, and she just looked, like a skeleton girl. And he called social services saying, I think there are some abused children in the house next door. You should go check it out. When social services came by, the house was in disarray. It was obviously they were being neglected, but they definitely saw that Samantha had clear cases of being abused with clumps of hair missing. And so they pulled her into foster care. And within a week, the social services department and the child welfare coordinator who was assigned to her case said, this child is so far back academically and socially, this could be a very, very difficult case. But they said, there's a Royal Family Kids Camp coming up, and maybe she'd be happy to attend this and kind of get some different exposure to other experiences that are positive. So she came to camp, and she didn't smile. When she showed up at camp, she was very skeptical and nervous, and by then, this time, she was 8 years old. And the child coordinator who was there, Dr. Jean Orr, child psychologist, she paid special attention to her and helped coax her out of her shell. And by the second day, she started to loosen up a little bit. And by the third day, when she realized that these people were good and that they were providing all these wonderful things for her to do, she poured herself into all the activity. She went swimming for the first time. She went horseback riding for the first time. She went fishing and caught a fish. She was so excited. We have something called Everybody's Birthday Party. And she received a gift at that birthday party. And not only was it her first birthday that she'd ever really been celebrated, it was her very first present ever.
Aww.
And she had tears streaming down her eyes, and she realized, she says now, that this was something these people were actually loving her for real. And so Samantha came back to serve as a counselor as she went through her teen years. When she turned 16, she had been adopted by Dr. Jean Orr.
So her counselor.
Found a forever family.
Wow.
Yes. And it was just wonderful to see her press into the community. And she made this outlandish goal that someday she would be valedictorian of her class. You know, she's a driven young woman. But the state had warned, look, she's so far back academically, let's not get her hopes up. Well, of course, Samantha worked really hard, and she was valedictorian of her class. She did earn a full ride scholarship to a university where she played basketball. And all through her teenage years and college years, she volunteered at the local Royal Family Kids Camp that she used to attend. And this last summer, she went to director's training and will become our very first former camper who will be a director of her own camp. Samantha is a tremendous story of success, but she's not unique. We have 236 other former campers just like her serving on staff all around the country who are proving that the program works so well that they want to come back and pour back into the children who are younger than them, and they know better than anyone what it's like to be coming out of that situation.
Wow, that's an incredible story.
Yeah, she's a remarkable young woman, and there's a Hollywood film being made about her that, of course, we're so excited about. She
wow.
just deserves to be celebrated because she's so wonderful.
Incredible, incredible. So Royal Family Kids started in 1985 with a pastor and his wife who wanted to provide the summer camp experience for kids in foster care out there in California. So, Chris, you've been president of Royal Family Kids now for about 5 years. What drew you to this ministry?
What drew me was the group of volunteers and the wide breadth of people that I saw who were pouring into the children. I have worked with organizations that have served orphans around the world, but when I kept asking, well, that's wonderful. I'm so glad we're building homes in Uganda for children who are coming from IDP camps. You know, what are we doing for children in foster care here in the United States? I knew that the statistics were terrible for children in foster care. I knew the outcomes were usually juvenile hall, incarceration, poverty, homelessness, and repeating the cycle with drug abuse and prostitution. And I was drawn to Royal Family Kids because of mutual friends who had volunteered, and they said, you should really check out this organization. I didn't plan on becoming the president. I knew Wayne and Diane from other circles. We were friends of friends. But when I reached out to them as part of another organization, excuse me, they showed me all of the volunteers that they were working with and their hearts that they were doing for these kids was just amazing. And I thought, wow, this is the type of organization that I'd love to be a part of. This is a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multi-denominational group that comes together to serve the orphan. It's like gospel in its purest form. And that's what drew me ultimately to Royal Family Kids. And then Wayne took me out to dinner and said, I'd love for you to take over. I'm stepping down, and I just want you to pray about it. And that was 5 years ago, and here I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now you also heard and were impacted by the testimony of another camper, Ashley. Can you share with us that story?
Yeah. Ashley is a girl located here in Southern California. And when she was in foster care, she changed her name from Natalie to Ashley because she was so ashamed of the abuse that she had suffered. And she didn't want to be called Natalie anymore. And this was the thing where she bounced around from home to home, and she had dropped her name. She kept trying to push her name away because she wanted to, this is the only power she had to get back at her birth mom who had abused her. And so she didn't want to be called by Natalie anymore because my mom gave me that name, and I'm going to refuse it. As she went through foster care, she was very bitter, moving from home to home to home and setting back farther and farther in school. And then she came to Royal Family Kids Camp, and she said, my heart just changed. I realized that it was so much more life-freeing to be happy and to press into the fun things that God had for me. And I heard about God there at camp for the first time. And she said, Jeremiah 29:11 became my verse. Mm-hmm. So as she was going through the camp and then the mentoring club program, which is through the school year, she was paired up with a mentor, of course, named Natalie. And as she got to know Natalie more and more and pressed into that, she was so moved by the love that Natalie showed her that she said, now I will take back the name Natalie because in honor of you. And so she goes by Ashley Natalie now. And she's like, I am mentoring other girls who come from that grew up in foster care behind me. And she's a wonderful young woman. She just got married a couple of years ago, and she's having her child. And she's not saying what the name of the child is, but, you know, I wonder if it's a girl. Maybe Natalie. She's such a wonderful young lady and very well put together. And she speaks at some of our events and has just been a joy to see her really grow into a young, strong woman with a deep faith in Christ. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. I love to hear the testimonies and just pouring in to the lives of these children, and it's life-changing when you pour in with the love of Christ. So there are so many testimonies of how Royal Family Kids Camps have transformed the lives of foster children with just really 1 week of summer camp, and some of them get that mentoring throughout the school year. And there are hundreds of Royal Family Kids Camps across the United States each summer. But it takes a local church to bring it into an area. And here in New York, where I am, there's only one camp, and that's downstate, hosted by, I believe you said, Chris, the Brooklyn Tabernacle is the church that hosts that camp downstate. But hey, across the Hudson Valley region, throughout the Capital Region, and up in the Adirondacks here in New York, campgrounds are abundant, and so are churches. So how can local churches be involved in this incredible work and bring Royal Family Kids Camps to upstate New York or anywhere? How does a church get involved?
That's a great question. Right now, if someone is sitting there listening and thinking, man, we should really look into this, all they need to do is go to our website, which is rfk.org, and click the church button. There's a church, business, and individual button based on where you're coming from. And if you are interested in having your church get the packet to understand how you start that journey, that's all you need to do. We will walk you through the whole process. It really takes that church, someone feeling that tug from the Holy Spirit, saying, we can serve the least of these through creating wonderful memories at camp and being that body of Christ that surrounds them and gives them that first pure taste of what a Christian fellowship can really be. That's all it really is to start to change the trajectory of these children's lives from one of destruction to one of hope. It requires the church to come together and step forward and say, we can do this. It's not a difficult program to understand. It does take lots of planning. You can't decide to put on a camp with a couple weeks to go. It does require a long calendar of planning, but then it becomes easy because we as an organization will walk alongside you and help you with the whole process. And we are so excited to be spreading out more and more on the East Coast, and we really need camps in New York, in Vermont, in Connecticut, in Washington, D.C., in Maryland. We don't have many locations there, and we are definitely seeking those church bodies to step forward and to help change the lives of children in foster care there.
And does it make a difference with the size of the church? So one individual from the church can decide, let's do this and send for the packet. How many volunteers does the church need to have to make it happen?
On average, a church needs about 50 to 60 volunteers.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that many it doesn't need that many counselors, but there are many different roles at camp. And when we start the camps out, usually the first year we're serving 30 children or so, 35 children, somewhere in that range. And so our ratios are one counselor for every two children, plus a support staff of around them with different roles. We have a coach, we have a music coordinator, we have other things like that. So what we need to do is to find that leadership team that would be interested in helping run it, two or three people. They're the ones who will come to the director's training. And so what we're looking for, churches generally over 400 or 500 people in the congregation, that's typically large enough to support and put on a Royal Family Kids Camp.
Wonderful. And what about financially? What is the cost to a church?
It really varies widely on what the cost of the campground that you lease is. That's the biggest expense usually. But we have a full handbook of fundraising ideas. And it's pretty easy once you do it regularly and you drip them out, you can raise the funds. But on average, it takes about $35,000 to $40,000 annually to put on that local camp. And if you were doing that all in the last month, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
But if you have the 10-month cycle with different little fundraisers that we've given you the template on how to do, it's pretty easy. And many camps have multiple years' worth of funds in the bank.
Wow. So churches once they've hosted a camp once, they tend to make it their mission and they make it an annual event.
Yeah. It's wonderful to see a church body really galvanized by serving local foster children. But that's what we see happen over and over across denominational lines, is that a church will really take hold of that local outreach mission and actually draw many more people to come to the church because they see the direct outreach mission in their community and feel connected to that. And when we have a certain fundraiser called Send a Kid to Camp Day, and what that is the camp volunteers go around the community to all the businesses and ask for 1% on one day. So if it's May 19th, for example, and you're going around to all the businesses and you're saying, this is all we're asking for to help support this program for local foster children, we have an overwhelming participation rate. And some business may send you then $17 and some may send you $1,700. But across the whole community, you're creating buy-in.
Right.
With the church as the planting the flag and the children being the beneficiaries, 100% go to support the children. That is a huge rallying call for the whole community to see what the church is about. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've seen really change a church body and increase its population because people are like, if that's what the church is doing, I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that is great. So churches who want to be a part of it can go right to the Royal Family Kids website at rfk.org to learn more. And Chris, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
What I really want to share is that it is possible to change the outcomes of these children. You know, the Holy Spirit is definitely calling people to step forward and to serve the children who are right here. I can't think of any more pure expression of gospel mission than to serve the foster children who have been abused, abandoned, neglected, children who have been locked in dog kennels and whipped with bicycle chains, burned with cigarette butts. These are children who desperately need to hear that there is a God who loves them, and they are aching for someone just to love them. And they, we need people from all backgrounds to step forward and say, I will be that person who will express the love of Christ to these children. And we don't, we know that not everyone can be a foster parent. It's a very tough job and it requires so much sacrifice. But everyone can do something for children in foster care, whether you're putting together the birthday box, or volunteering on a certain day just for the woodworking sessions, or you're coming to be a counselor and you're getting equipped with TBRI to sit with these children. Everyone can do something, and we're called to do something, and we are really hoping you'll choose Royal Family to be that expression of how to reach these children.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for all that Royal Family Kids is doing on behalf of foster children across the U.S., and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate being on, and God bless you and your ministry.
Oh, thank you. And we also thank you, our listeners, for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27, be it by adoption, foster care, or orphan care ministry. To learn more or to contact me about speaking at your church, visit our website again at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.